Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. That's better. Now, if you're new here, you realize that oftentimes when I preach you, there'll be questions, and those questions aren't rhetorical. You know what that means? That means you get the answer. Today's might not be as much as usual, but we'll find out. My wife Cheryl and I have been a part of the Antioch Church now, I think, for about 4 years. We have the privilege of working with Antioch on two levels. Number one, we're a part of the church. Also, is my position as the district director of church multiplication for the Free Church. I help to lead that part, too. So it's kind of fun, especially as we're working to multiply out some more churches. And so it's a good privilege to be a part and always to be with the young. Today, we're starting my series. And Andy and I said, last year, him and I sat down and talked. And he says, okay, next year when you preach, I'm going to have one theme that I carry. Whenever I preach, I'm going to preach on brokenness. So just get used to it. I have two books that are great. This book here, Embracing Brokenness by Nelson, is just a wonderful book. And here's Leadership with Identity is another book that this is by Crawford Loritz. Both of them are on brokenness. And as Andy and I were talking about what to preach on, I says, well, this is what I'm learning. And so as I'm learning, I can share it with you guys. So I love it when God takes me through the woodshed that I can share that so he can take you through it with me. You know, it's better to go as a team, right? And the other thing about this is, as we look at brokenness, I think we start to realize that I have learned one thing. I can never say I have arrived. Often we say I've learned. Have you learned? I think it's more accurate, I am learning, right? The spiritual things, I don't know about you, but they just keep coming back. I think I have one that I've made progress on, and where do we go? Go and start. God fine-tunes it. So that's what we're going to be looking at it for the next part. So we're in a series on blessing of brokenness, and how many times I preach is where we'll focus on it. Today we're going to try to look at an overview and see it from the understanding of what brokenness is, where God wants to have us so he can use us. So before we get into the sermon, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father God, we want to thank you so much for this day because you've given us a new day to live and to be drawn closer to you. Father, I pray today that as we share together, as we think together, as we ponder together, your thoughts, your word, and your working in our life, Lord, that you might stir in each one of us. I pray, Father God, that you'd help me to really be able to hone down all the stuff that I have here. And Lord, that you would just give us the words and the thoughts to share it in such a way that it really be helpful for your people here. Lord, you know each one. You know our special needs. You know where we're at. And I pray that you draw each one of us to the next level, the next step closer to you, so that we might be found more pleasing, that we might be able to walk in a way that you could be used of you. We know, Lord, that once we're yours, you love us unconditionally. But Father, we want to be used of you. We want to be your children. We want to be your kingdom servants. Lead us, Lord. Are we asking? How many of you are farm people? Anyone here raised on a farm? One, two, three. Oh, we got about a half dozen. Great. I can't use my farm stories then, so I'll have to change the other. How many of you have pets? Did you ever get a young one that had a train? What's the fun part of that? Is there anything fun about training a pet? It's a flat out pain, isn't it? It's wet carpets. It's dirty here. Last week, my wife and I were taking care of our daughter's pet, new puppy, and it would bark, barking all night. About 11 o'clock, I says, I'm either going to kill the dog or I got to do something with it. And Cheryl says, well, why don't we take it down? Why don't you take it down to the lower bedroom in a far corner and just let it bark? That's what we did. We couldn't hear it in our bedroom. And you go, wow. But, you know, it's about a 12-week-old dog that they've never had to keep in a kennel overnight by itself. It sleeps with them. But training a dog is something else. But what good is a dog that's not trained? or a pet that's not trained, that you can't trust. My wife and I had a pet. We had a beautiful dog who was not, he came to a place where he was deaf and he couldn't be trusted. So we had to deal with that. That was hard. Because if something's not broken and tamed and trained right, the owner can't use them right either, can he? How does that relate to us in our spiritual walk? That's what brokenness is all about. That we are trained in our soul so that God can use us as he created us to be. Think back with me to the time you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Maybe there's some here today who haven't made that commitment. That commitment is where you realize that because of our own sin, we've been separated from God, and God has loved us, and he sent Christ to die for us so that we might have salvation, so that we might have life with him. And because of the Christ's death and life and death and resurrection, we're given salvation by trusting in him. Think back to the time you made that decision, or maybe you're going to make that decision today. What did you say in your prayer? You don't have to tell me out loud. But the chances are you said something like this: God, I want to be saved, and do with me what you want. You probably said something in that line, right? You said, I want to follow you. I want you to make me what you want me to be. And we had no idea what that was going to look like, right? But you know what happened that day? God took you at your word. And that's where Philippians 1:8 comes in. That day, he began a good work in you. He gladly accepted your trusting in him, and he made you a new person. And as he made you a new person, then, as Philippians 1:8 says, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He began that good work. The good work of what? Preparing you for everything you need to be until he takes you home. He started the good work. Who started the good work? He did. Who's going to complete the good work? But do we always do that? Most of the time, I don't know about you, but I had enough. I trusted Christ for salvation. That was no big deal. But now I have to do all these things so that I can be pleasing him, right? So the gospel was good enough for salvation, but it's not good enough for the transformation of the work he's going to complete. And that's what God wants us to stop and realize. No, this is about God doing that good work. He's going to bring it to completion. It's not about me being good enough. It's not about me being moral. It's about him doing that work in me that he does to transform me. And that's what we want to look at. That is what God talks about when he said, what's what we're talking about when we're talking about brokenness? God doing that work and how he does that work. Because he's going to do it in each one of us different. But he will do what? He'll bring it to completion so that the day of Jesus, we're going to be ready. How does he do that? Well, I think the way that he does that is God wants to do a deep heart transformation. He wants to transform us from that rebellious, selfish, self-made person to his radical, obedient kingdom servant by breaking our self-will. And God is going to do that. He's going to train us. He's going to break us. And that is something that we many times look at as something, no, I don't want. But the blessing of it is that that's the way he prepares us and he completes the work in. And so we want to look at that brokenness today. As a follower of Jesus, we are God's. We told him he can change us. He took us at his word. So he's going to change us. You ready for the change? Maybe today you can look back and see the change. But maybe today you're sitting here fighting some change. I don't know about you. In my Christian walk, I think I'm to the place now where, you know, I remember as a young Christian, I used to fight God all the time. God would say, Dan, I'm going to work in your life this way. I want you to be doing this. And I'd say, well, we'll see. And then I'd leave this area, go, but no, God wants to work and do it His way. And so what I want us to do is we're going to go through the life of David real quick. We're not going to spend more than 5 minutes the life of David. If you want to follow along with me, grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. Because we're going to go through his life, because we see some beautiful examples of King David and how God broke him. And it, as you realize, if the life of David may be new to you, David was the second king of Israel. David was a young man who was raised as a shepherd, and he spent a lot of time. But then King Saul, because of his rebellion against God, God withdrew his favor from King Saul. And then, if you look in 1 Samuel 16, you'll see that verse 16, it says there about verse 13, that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. What happened, that is when God has said to David, you will be the king of Israel. You're the next king. He's a young man. We don't know how old he was. But what happens to David for the next, really, it's probably, could be 5 years. We're not exactly sure how long. But the next period of time, he moves in and starts ministering to King Saul. But Saul has had the Spirit of God removed from him because he's rejected God. And as you see in here, what happens is Saul gets very jealous of David because God blesses David. David goes to battle. He leads, first of all, you see David and Goliath, where he kills Goliath. Then he starts to lead the army out, and continually we see him leading the army out and coming back with great victories. And all of a sudden the country is now saying, Saul has killed his hundreds, David has killed his thousands, and the people are really turning toward David. And so what happens is King Saul, for the next period of time until his death, tries to kill David. In fact, he chases David. David almost says it feels like he's being a rabbit chased. Here's the guy who's the next king. God has already said you're going to be the king, and he's being chased. He's hiding out. He goes from place to place in the wilderness. He's hiding in caves. He goes and lives in foreign countries. And then we see that after that, David gets two chances. We see in chapter 20, I got to check here where I'm at, just so I'm together. 24, we see that David gets to 24 and 26. David has a chance to kill Saul. But if you look in there, David is in the back of a cave hidden. And as King Saul comes in, Saul is taking care of his bodily functions. And so David goes up and cuts off his edge of the robe. And then after Saul leaves, he said, here, King, I could have killed you. But he didn't. Because he said, that's God's job. One thing you're going to see, and we'll touch on it in a minute. Then we see again in chapter 26, David and his men again see Saul and his whole company of people, and they're sleeping. And David and his men say, we can go and you can kill them. In fact, the one guy says, David, you take a spear and stick it through them. No one will know any different. What does David say? No, I can't do that. He takes the water jug and he takes a spear and he leaves. And then from a distance, he calls back. And he says, King Saul, here it is. Why do I tell you this story? Because why would God take his anointed person and make him be chased like a rabbit? What do you think God's trying to do? Any ideas? That's a question. Keep him humble. What else? Teaching them to trust, right? Do you see how he's doing it? See, God is breaking David. He's taking off some rough edges of the future king, and he's humbling him by letting him be chased by the hard things in life. It's just, he's really letting Saul live out his feelings and his sinfulness. And David has to accept that, but God is using that. And as you look and you read in that, I'd encourage you to read that whole chapter there. You see that David many times goes back to God and says, God, should I do this? God, should I do that? God, should I follow? And what he's doing is he's keeping David's eyes humble, fixed on God. He's teaching to trust. He's breaking David, right? So he can be the king. Now, King David, though, he's like some of the rest of us. He has trouble. He's not a guy who can just step out and say, okay, God, I'm following you, I'm following you, I'm following you, and I'll do everything right. Turn in chapter 2, book 2. Samuel 2, let's go down to chapter 11. If you go to chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, you'll see David, now he's the king. David now has been victorious. Everything is going well for him, right? And his men are going out to war. And chapter 11, verse 1, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to war, David sent out Joab and his servants, and they went out and they ravaged. And it happened, verse 2, late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was beautiful. And we know what that is. If you know the story, that's Bathsheba. David then, being the king, he can do whatever he wants, right? He calls Bathsheba. He sends his people to go bring Bathsheba. He brings Bathsheba. They have an affair. She becomes pregnant. And the only trouble is, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, is one of his great warriors. And David calls him back. And he's hoping that he'd have a relationship with his wife, but Uriah is a man of integrity. He says, I can't sleep with my wife if my men who are on the field can't be with their wives. So he slept on the porch out front. He went. And then finally David has him killed. Remember, this is a man who's after God's heart. This is the king he appointed. They have the baby. After Uriah dies, they have the baby. And then finally and we don't know how long, we figure at least a year after the incident happened, Nathan comes to Samuel. And Nathan calls to Samuel. Turn to chapter 12. In chapter 12 it says, and then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there are two men in a certain city. And he tells him the story of a rich man coming. The rich man who had many flocks and herds, but a poor man had nothing but one lamb, which he brought. And he brought it up, and he grew it up, and his children he raised in his family. And it says that Nathan, the rich man, came, and they took that one man's little lamb and killed it so that he could feed the rich man. And David just gets angry. And finally Nathan turns to him and said, David, you're that man. Why was David that man? It's because he has stolen Uriah's wife. And all of a sudden, David sees his sin, and that takes him to Psalms 51, because when David sees his sin, again, God breaks him. And as God breaks him, he stops and can see his own heart. And as he sees his own heart, turn now to Psalms 51, because 51 is the beauty of the breaking of David. And David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned. You see what breaking it did? And it was because of sin this time. Before it was because of some man. Now it's because of his own sin. And God breaks him. And then you look over to verses 16 and 17. For you will not delight in my sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. See, what brokenness is about, it's about us becoming broken in heart, broken in spirit, so we can see ourselves very clearly before God. And so God can do in us what he wants to. See, that's him beginning that good work. That work he's doing in us and bringing to completion is he's breaking us so that in our minds and in our hearts, we can truly see ourselves before God. And that's what he does with King David. Now, if you want to follow it through with some other men, look at Moses, look at Abraham, look at Joseph, look at Paul, look at Peter, and you can follow them all through in your own personal study, and we'll be looking at them a little bit more later. But what we start to see here is what brokenness looks like, how God took a man who he says in Acts 13:22 was a man after his own heart. God said, he's a man after my own heart. But he had to break him so that he'd be there. And so we need to be looking at what is brokenness? What is the breaking process that God wants to do in our lives? And are we people who are tight-fisted and fighting with God? Or are we people who are saying, okay, God, you can do the work. So let's look at how he does this work. What is brokenness? Brokenness is not humility or repentance. Brokenness results in humility and repentance. Brokenness and breaking renders our hearts and our soul so that we have a soul response to God where we can come before God humbly and be repentant. What's your definition of humble? Question. What's it mean to be humble? What's a trait of humble? You think about yourself less. Good. You think about less and you think about yourself correctly. Good. Patient. Willingness to admit you're not there yet. Good. Seeing yourself in perspective, and specifically in perspective to God, what God sees, right? Good. Anything else? How about also that we see ourselves and we see ourselves as needy? Seeing ourselves in perspective, we see how much we need God. To be humble makes us have to need God, right? Because we see that we can't do it our own strength. So, brokenness is not going to, it's not humility, but it's going to render us humble. And it's also going to render us repentant so that we see ourselves in light of God. And as we're being more broken, we become closer to God and we want to do what he wants us to do. So when we hear about he calls us out in our sinfulness, then we do what? We repent instead of hide. Brokenness is not being spirit-filled. But brokenness will set us up so we can be spirit-filled, because what brokenness helps us to do is it helps us to be emptied of our selfish ambition so we're willing to be able to be filled with the Spirit and be Spirit-led. In other words, as we're broken, God is breaking us from doing it my way in my strength and how I do it. And all of a sudden I come and say, okay, God, how do you want to do it? And God, I need your Spirit to be working in me. And then, see, it's God doing that transforming in me, not me changing stuff. That doesn't say I don't have a part. I need to respond to God's leading. But he's breaking me so that I can be useful to him. Brokenness is different from personal holiness. Personal holiness is out there where, oh, I'm holy, I'm doing the right things. But brokenness is that pruning process where God clips the branches and the leaves that sap our energy and spiritual passion. Does it hurt more to have God cut off our dead wood or to remove the living wood that is holding us back to be more effective? You know, in John 15, he talks about the gardener pruning and cutting off even good wood so that better and we can be more fruitful. I think that kind of hurts more. And a lot of times that's what we hang on to. But God, this is my ministry. God, I can't, I have to do this. God, you want, whoa. Remember back when we accepted Christ? I said, whatever do you want, God? What do you want? I'll do whatever you want. God, if you don't want me doing my ministry this way, it's all right to do it that way. That hurts. If you're me, it hurts. One of the hardest things for me, and God continually prunes. I've been going through, one of the reasons I can preach is I've been going through this breaking for a long time, and he's real. But when I left the pastoral ministry and came to my district ministry, where you're not in a church, you're not building relationships with men all the time, boy, that was one of the hardest things. I wanted to say, God, don't you know this is where I'm better? And God says, no, Moose, this is where I want you because you're going to have to trust me. See the difference? God breaking. Also, brokenness is different from sanctification. Sanctification is that process where I'm set apart to be God's person. But really, brokenness is the process where God is preparing us to yield everything to Him. Ooh, did you hear that? The everything bit? That's a hard one, and especially for us as Americans. So what is a definition that we can work with? Well, I'm going to take a couple definitions put together, and I'd like us to use this definition for the next couple times as we deal with this. Brokenness is a moment-by-moment lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of my heart and life, so I see my desperate need for God and willingly surrender to His care and call. In other words, it's a lifestyle. See, it's not just something that happens here and here, but it's not something that's happening all the time. See, when He's breaking us, He may break me here and let that filter in and work in my life, and He'll break me here, and He'll break me here. But brokenness is a result of that. It brings me to a place where I'm in a lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of who I am. Not what you see me or think I am, but who God sees, who God sees you. And then doing what? The true condition of my heart and life so that I see my desperate need, so that I see God. I need you, God. I need you more, Father. And I need Him. And in my desperate need, then I'm willingly surrender to His care. The reason I put His care in there is because I think we're very quick to answer His call, but we're not quick to let Him minister to our needs. See, when we're desperate after God, we're going to let Him grace us. We're going to let Him do that changing inside so that we just are drawn closer and closer. And He cares for us. He heals us. We're no longer, as a broken person, when we're broken healthily, we're no longer a victim of anything. We are instead, we're a person that God can take and just use and change and move. That doesn't mean we haven't been desperately hurt. That just means that God, in His care, has healed the wound so that we can walk in health. And then we can do the call. Let me read a passage to you from this book by Roberta Hestines. She said, in our day, which emphasizes self-confidence, self-assurance, and self-fulfillment, we need to learn again the lesson of brokenness. of humility and gentleness before God and each other. This brokenness speaks not of self-worthlessness, nor of malformed personalities, nor of deep clinical depression. Did you hear it? Brokenness does not speak of self-worthlessness. A lot of us as Christians get caught up in a thing and say, well, I'm worth nothing. No, you're worth a lot if Christ died for you, right? So it's not about our self-worthlessness. We're created in the image of God. But nor is it our malformed personality, nor our clinical depression. It points towards a deeper reality, the response to a prompting of the Spirit in certain circumstances of need, demand, and spiritual yearning and hunger. Brokenness is a yielded heart open before God, a heart emptied of pride, of self-claim, of all arrogance, knowing our sins, our self-deception, our frailties, our weakness and inability, inadequacy. We discover ourselves again to be hungry and thirsty, poor and needy. And when we have thought ourselves full and needing nothing, along with this awareness comes a rediscovery of God's love, mercy, and forgiveness, His affirmation of us, care for us, and claim upon us. Brokenness is not the opposite of wholeness. It is a continuing prerequisition for it. And all of a sudden you say, that's what God is trying to work in me. That's that good work. That's that Philippians 1:8. He is doing the good work that He's going to bring to completion in our life. So what is the purpose of brokenness? Why would God break us? Let's throw that open for a minute. See what time it is here so we're not running way past time. Oh, we got a few minutes. What are some of your ideas? Why do you think God is, well, God would break us? What's His purpose for brokenness? Okay, to remake us, to transform us and remold us like He wants to. Good. What else? Remove all of our false idols, our many gods. Wow. Yes. To reveal Himself as God the healer. Wonderful. Yeah. To break self-reliance. Well, I don't like that one. It's great, but I don't like it. He wants to give us a bigger view of who He is. Wonderful. Any other ones? Yeah. Wants to remind us our identity in Him. It's all about Him. Good. Good. Those are all good. Let me add a few to those. Another thing is humility, and I think you've touched on that, that we see ourselves rightfully, and we've talked about that. How about a broken and contrite heart? How many of us gets me a lot about me, doesn't it? And especially in the area of sin. You know, the reason, and even the one that's brought out, that we have those idols. That's our heart issues. That's a heart issue. And how do we come back and repent to those and have God replace those? That's the purpose of brokenness. How about a lifestyle of repentance? The older I get, I pray that I'm to the area very soon that if God points out a sin, immediately I do what? Repent. I don't know about you, but when I was your age, God point out a sin, and I'd tell Him I'd take care of it. And then I'd work out the details, and I'd say, well, God, you know, I'm doing this well and this well, you know. And there wasn't that quick repentance. But through brokenness, God's brought me to a place where all of a sudden, you, okay, God, you're right. And repentance is not just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is what? That the idea, the truth that, yes, God, I've sinned against you, as David said. I sinned against you. And I'm turning back to you, God. Forgive me. See, the difference between Saul, and if you want to go back and study, the difference between Saul and David, David had sin in his life, and he said, Lord, I sinned against you, and he asked for forgiveness, and he repented. Saul, what he didn't repent. He just said, well, it's sin, but he never repented. And see, a broken person is one who learns when God points out your sin. It's me, God. Forgive me. Brokenness also helps us to come to total surrender. And that, I think someone back here was talking, but it deals with self-reliance, but it also deals with the idea that, Lord, you're in control. I'm not mine anymore. Remember who began the good work? God did. So when I accepted Christ as my Savior, it's about God, right? So I'm his property, so am I willing to do what he says and how he says it? It's hard for us as Americans because we have a lot of things that are nice, and I love everything that's nice. But that hinders me from being quick to say, okay, God, I'll give this, I'll give that, I'll do this, I'll do that, when he calls me to do it. See, total surrender is also about me being that spirit-filled person where I can hear him say, Dan, I want you to do this. Total surrender says, okay, right? Especially if it's not something that everybody else thinks is the right thing for me to do. Another purpose of brokenness is that spirit-filled and being spirit-led. Because as the Spirit's working in us, he can move and work us. Because as we're broken, we're dealing with the things within us that keep us from having room for the Holy Spirit to run our lives. Also, another is the fruit of the Spirit. Can you produce patience? Any of you here can produce patience? Don't see those hands. Any of you here can produce self-control? Not really. If you're like, you know, we say, oh yeah. But see, the fruit of the Spirit, God wants to produce in us, and that's part of his breaking. And as we're broken, then we can start to live that out. And the fruit can be produced because God. And you know, that's what draws people to Christ. Because they see it in you. They see a genuineness. They see you caring for the people. They see you reaching across boundaries that other people won't. Because they see the fruit in your life. Of what God's doing. And then the final one I have is the one that John said in John 3. John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. It's about you. So, how do you respond to God's breaking? How should we respond? We should say, yay, I want to be broken, right? How many of you do that? It isn't me, guys. I'm going to be honest. It isn't me. Do you know there is, and we'll get into that in our next sermon, what is voluntary brokenness? Some people have that gentle spirit that God just calls them and, yep. I was raised with two clenched fists. I was born with two clenched fists. I was raised with them. And God has had to take each finger one at a time and go. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, I have trouble when it comes to responding. But as we're looking, how do we respond to God's breaking us? I think the first thing we need to think is, do we really believe God is good and is always working for your good? That's what the scripture says, right? Let's look at Romans 8, 28, 29. Need to put them together. Most of you know 28, but you need to put it 29. And we know that those who love God, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many. What's it saying there? God is going to work everything in your life for his good. For what reason? What's the reason? What's it saying, 29? so we might be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. And that's what we say we want to do. So God is really the great recycler. He's going to take everything that happens in your life and he's going to transform that into good so that you might be it like in the image of Christ. That you might be Christ-like. That I might be Christ-like. So why do we fight it? Because I don't think we're convinced that God is good. I'm afraid that God's going to take me, if I say, God, I'll do whatever, and he's going to take me to outer Siberia. Or he's going to take me and say, Dan, you can't have anything to do with the farm anymore. You see, and we have those little things we're holding on to. And because of that, we can't accept the truth that God says he's good and the scripture says he's good. To respond to brokenness, we have to have that. Secondly, we also need to trust God in all circumstances. Every one of them. Say, God, okay. And see, this is where it gets hard in life. Because again, our life, we may be going through a real hard spot. And I love the series that you preached on Ruth, Andy. Because it really brought that out, how God used those hard spots for his glory. But he also used it to transform a nation, and he raised up the Messiah through him, through Ruth, right? But it was hard times. And there's some of us that are going through hard times, and why are we going through hard times? God is going to take that and transform. We don't know how, but he's going to do it. We got to trust him. And the final thing is that we need to yield to his leading and let that work out in our lives. As we close, some thoughts to ponder. Have you asked God to start his good work in you? Are you here today and you may be here today and said, I've never said, God, I really want you to change my life. I want you to make me your child and your follower through Jesus Christ. And I've never allowed the gospel to come in and change. That's the start. Today would be a great day to do that. And there's plenty of people here who'd love to talk to you about that. And God can take your brokenness. He can take your most miserable mess and transform it for his kingdom's sake. That's our God. But have you asked them? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Secondly, here's a question for each one of us. What is God doing in your life to break you right now? Or is he? You may be in a place where things are going just pretty smooth right now. But are you open and saying, God, I want you to complete that good work? Are you willing to pray that prayer? That's a hard prayer. But I'll tell you the blessing of it. Here's the blessing of brokenness. You'll be more Christ-like. God will be able to do more through you, more effectively. And you'll be moving along in that process for his kingdom's sake. And you'll be more effective as a kingdom servant. If you're going through a time right now, how are you responding? Is it tough? If we get further along in this series, I'll share a couple of the times that God has broken me. I preached this series of sermons back in 93. And in the next 3 years, God brought each sermon home to rest in my life of how he broke. I look back, I'll tell you what, when I was going through it, it was terrible. I look back today, 20 years later, and say, what a gracious God that he didn't take me and do with me what he did with Saul, but instead he said, okay, Moose, I want to change you into my man. If you're going through a tough time now, are you willing to pray that prayer and say, Lord, do it your way? You may need a brother or sister to walk through it with you, to be praying with you, to be encouraging. Don't be afraid to ask. because that's where the body of Christ, we build one. There is blessing in brokenness. Remember, that little puppy, if you never housebreak him, where do you have to keep him? In the kennel, right? Not a whole lot of fun. How about us as God's people? If we don't let them break us, I wonder what that limits us from having the benefits of doing in His kingdom. God wants to use you. God didn't save you for no reason at all. He who began a good work in you, what? Bring it to completion. Will you let Him? Let's pray. Father, we know that You're a faithful God. We know You're a loving God. And we know that Your Spirit continues to work in us and through us. We'd ask today, Lord, that You would guide us and speak to our hearts. Father, we see the life of David. We see how You took a man and You used him, how You broke him and trained him. And Father, we want to be people that are trained well, who are willing to allow You to do that good work that You've started in us and transform us for Your kingdom's sake. Lord, we want to be faithful, fruitful followers. We want to be kingdom servants who You can use wherever, whenever, at work, at play, at jobs, at something new, because You're doing that work in it. Lord, I invite You to do it in my life. And I'm going to be a little assumption. I'm going to be and just say, Lord, do it in our lives. Break us for Your kingdom's sake. Because we want to be a people that You use for Your kingdom's sake. For we ask it in Jesus' name.